John Anazu is an associate professor of law at Washington University School of Law in St. Louis. On Tuesday, he'll be visiting the Missouri State University campus in Springfield to deliver a lecture on religious liberty at the Meyer Library. John Anazu joins me now by phone. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Scott. It's great to be with you.
The title of your presentation Tuesday is Religious Liberty and the Expanding Circle of Civil Rights, Conflict and Accommodation. Please start by reminding our audience of how that circle is expanding as of late, both locally and nationwide.
Sure. I think what we're seeing is a greater attention to the collision between religious liberty claims and claims around civil rights, particularly around LGBT rights. And it's colliding for a number of reasons. One is a move that some people have noticed to more for-profit context, but another in the other direction is the regulatory state and increasing regulations, both locally and federally, that are pushing into boundaries that were previously unregulated in these ways. So we're seeing movement and clash from both directions.
Given these recent events, how would you characterize the current state of the religious liberty and civil rights debate?
Yeah, I think it's getting uglier, and I don't think that's a good thing for anyone. One thing to note here is that religious liberty is itself a civil right, and so you really have the clashes of differing civil rights and different claims and different framings of those rights. But some of these end up being zero sum. There are going to be political winners and political losers. And it's obviously never great to be on the losing side, but the energy in both directions seems to be getting more heated than less heated.
You mentioned how the LGBT equality debate fits in here. Perhaps one of the examples in our region that drew the most debate in recent months with regards to this topic is the non-discrimination ordinance in Springfield, which was expanded by City Council last year to include protections for LGBT persons in the areas of housing, employment, and public accommodations. After a successful referendum petition, the issue was put to a vote of the people and then was narrowly repealed in April. Based on your research, why have issues like these been so difficult to find consensus on?
I think for a couple of reasons. One is we don't fully know how some of these laws will play out in the details. So we know that there are expressive reasons to pass laws and enact them. And in this case, some of them are important expressions of the law and cultural moves toward recognizing the need for a greater understanding of equality. But we don't know how they play out in the specifics, and specifics meaning business owners and nonprofits and individuals, and so the uncertainty drives some of it. But I also think the political rhetoric really makes it even worse, and we saw that in Springfield, and we've seen that elsewhere around the country, that rather than trying to work together towards solutions, we quickly demonize the other side, so the other side becomes predators or bigots instead of fellow citizens and people.
Yeah, Springfield, it was certainly a hot topic in this region. Perhaps on a national level, the Indiana Religious Freedom Act comes to mind, one that really received a lot of backlash, where supporters say the measure was meant to make sure the government doesn't infringe on the religious liberty of its citizens, while many gay rights advocates and civil liberty organizations believe the law will aid discrimination against lesbians and gays. How does the issue become so tangled?
Again, I think a lot of it's driven by the rhetoric, and a lot of it's probably driven by a certain amount of fear on both sides. In Indiana, what was fascinating was that the actual legal issues were surrounding a pretty narrow set of businesses. We had the cake bakers and the florists and the pizza makers, and whether those businesses would offer their services at a gay wedding. And that's a really important question, and the stakes on both sides of that question are high, but it doesn't mean the collapse of gay equality on the one side, and it doesn't mean the collapse of religious liberty on the other side. It's a narrow set of issues, and both sides were really ratcheting up the rhetoric to suggest that this was sort of the end-all and be-all of the entire issue, and that was unfortunate.
So I guess the burning question here is there possibility for cohesion as we move forward and these debates continue?
Right. I think there's a lot of room for improvement because we've set a pretty low bar in the debate so far. There are going to be, as there always are, political winners and political losers, and we have to figure out where that line is drawn. So as an example, if you poll most Americans probably think that churches ought to be able to control their own membership, and most Americans, conversely, probably believe that Walmart needs to serve all people. And then there's a lot of space between Walmart and the church. And the question is, where are we going to draw that line? And as we move toward figuring out where that line is, it's not going to be without difficulty, but we've got to be able to do a better job of it than we've seen.
What else will your lecture offer on Tuesday?
Yeah, so in addition to talking about sort of the history of the religious liberty law and cultural developments, I'm also going to point toward the broader question of just how we navigate and engage with deep difference in our society. And this is really the question of pluralism. It comes from a book that I've just completed that will be out in the spring. And with pluralism or figuring out how we live in society with one another in spite of our deep differences, I think there are really two questions. One of them is the legal dimension, which I'll talk about, but the other is the cultural or civic practice dimension. What do we do when we have our own opportunity to make decisions in our speech and in our actions toward others? And that's an area where culturally we seem to be, I think, sliding in the wrong direction. So part of what I'd like to do is just ask aspirationally, how can we get back on track to seeing each other as people and citizens?
You know, that leads me into Ferguson, because I know that's something you've also looked into and written a lot about. How does that pluralism mentality play into that? How have you seen the change since the actions and the shooting death of Michael Brown?
Right. So I teach criminal law and also the law of protest in St. Louis. And so Michael Brown's death really was at the forefront of what I've been thinking about for a while. And this is another example where on both sides, the rhetorical anger didn't help things. I do think that there are profound structural issues in the city of St. Louis that need to be addressed, and there are significant challenges and problems ahead. But the demonizing of both sides here was really counterproductive and continues to be counterproductive. And to tackle the significant hurdles politically and otherwise ahead in the city of St. Louis is going to require partnership across the aisle and partnership across difference. And the place to start that is to sit down at the table rather than yelling at each other.
Well, it does seem there's been a lot of discussion in the past year since those events. How would you assess at least what the effort has been?
I think the attention has been important, and there are people who have been working behind the scenes out of the limelight for a lot of years. I think of the Arch City Defenders as an example of a group that has really labored to do the hard work of bringing attention to some of the structural and institutional challenges, and I'm glad to see those kinds of efforts get more attention. But it's also clear that there's a lot more work ahead, and the work, I think, has to go beyond protests and activism to the slow work of building neighborhoods and repairing schools and those sorts of things. And then I think we also need to continue to take a hard look at how law enforcement engages with the public, both in crime prevention and crime policing, but also in protests when they happen. We've got a lot of room to grow in that area as well.
John Anazu is an associate professor of law at Washington University School of Law in St. Louis. He'll speak on religious liberty and civil rights at 6 p.m. Tuesday inside MSU's Meyer Library, Room 101. The event is free and open to the public. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Thanks so much, Scott.